Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So, where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's gonna bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here! You gotta see this!
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. Today, I am predicting AEW World's End, and I am joined by Ashley from the Kick Ash podcast. Ashley, how are you?
Hello, Stephanie. I'm great. I am doing fantastic, Ashley. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to have you on. It's the first time I've had you for one of these. So I think it's going to be a really, really good discussion about World's End. And you were just telling me that you're going. So that's extra exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Like we were just briefly discussing. Yeah. It's like right up the road from me. I got tickets when they first went on sale. Super cheap. So I was like, why not? I will say, though, it was a little bit of a tough decision because WWE is doing a live show as well, like right in Orlando, like the same night. So I was debating, but one thing about AEW, normally the pay-per-views are pretty good. So you can say what you want about the week-to-week stories and stuff like that, but normally the pay-per-views deliver. So yeah, it was a no-brainer, but yeah, I'm super stoked. And it actually works out great talking to you even more about the show since I'll be there too. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think with the week-to-week recently with AEW, I've not been enjoying it. I don't think I've made any secret of that, but the pay-per-views are always good. I think that's why it's sometimes hard to like preview the pay-per-views because you know the matches will be good, but sometimes the week-to-week can be not great. So then you can be kind of like negative on the matches. Like I find myself doing that. But then like, you know, when the pay-per-view happens, like they're going to be good. And for me, like if I was in your position, I would have gone to the AEW pay-per-view, like just because it's a pay-per-view.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, if it was like a collision, I probably would have gone to WWE, full disclosure, but yeah, no, it was, and I was hopeful, you know, with World's End, how all the hype started with Mox, and if we get a special someone that could be appearing, which doesn't look like that's going to be the case now, being, you know, Shane O'Mac and all that 3 months ago, which seems like a lifetime ago in and of itself, but yeah, it should be, expecting it to be a good show, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it will be a good show. I think for me, I thought World's End last year was probably the low pay-per-view for them because their pay-per-views are usually really good. And I don't have good memories of World's End last year. I did not think that was a good show. And like I was saying to you before we went on air, like I do think it's kind of a weird time to have a show like this week that's between Christmas and New Year's. That's always this kind of like weird limbo week for people having like just, you know, in between two holidays. But at the same time, I guess you need something to look forward to after Christmas. But it's kind of extra weird this year because they also have the Dynasty show coming up in Japan just like a week later. So it's really busy. They have gone from like four pay-per-views a year to it feels like nonstop.
Yeah, literally. I feel like it's like TNA, because I feel like with one thing, like with TNA, I feel like every other week it's like a pay-per-view with them. And I feel like I'm starting to get like that with AEW, which, again, you know, it's part of me was like, okay, maybe if they have more pay-per-views, it'll give them more structure, you know, and more like, okay, like a closer goalpost as opposed to like a couple months out. But yeah, it's been something. This year itself, I think, has been a very interesting year for AEW as a whole.
Yeah, me too. I think it's been a really like strange year for them. And I think they've kind of like wobbled a lot what they've been trying to find their footing with doing these more pay-per-views. And I don't think they've found the spot to like make it work. Like when I say they, I do just probably mean Tony. And they've tried some interesting creative things, I guess one of which we'll talk about being this Jon Moxley storyline that's happening. But it has been a strange year. I've been trying to sit down and write about AEW's 2024, and when you like try and chronologically put down everything that happened this year, it looks wild on paper and can almost read like a hit piece, even if you're just like saying like everything that happened this year. Yeah. You know, it's like, wow, it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
It really has. And like when I was thinking about it too, just a couple of days ago, I was like, man, like I almost completely forgot that the whole Tony Khan Elite Takeover angle was this year as well. Like it's just, it feels like it's been the longest year for AEW in a lot of ways too, but I don't know, which we'll dive into it obviously more in more detail. But yeah, it's I'm hopeful for them going into 2025. That's what I try to, you know, like benefit the doubt, and like I try to be that person. Sometimes it's harder.
It's hard when you want them to succeed so much, but yeah. I feel like maybe they're making some like inroads, like going to smaller venues, which they've have needed to do for a while. Binning off Rampage is probably a good idea to see what they like replace it with. Maybe this year, 2025, will be a reset, and them having, you know, the big show in Japan as well will hopefully do something. And they have the big Australia show coming up. I think that's February. So
yeah. Oh yeah. That's crazy. February.
There's a lot coming up for them. There's a lot, but first they got to get through World's End. And we're going to be predicting World's End, which of course includes the Continental Classic tournament. So you guys let us know in the chat what your predictions are. And first, we are going to hear from our sponsor at Bet Online.
For years, you've seen Bet Online AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
That was our overlord, Sean Ross Sapp, with betonline.ag, where you can place your bets for AEW World's End. Before we get into it, I just want to say hi to Darren Walker and thank you for the £5 super chat. Darren says, Steph, how you been? Hope you okay. And will your Dynamite reviews be back soon? I've been good, Darren. It's just been hectic because I was living in Toronto most of last year, and then I did a whole move back currently in Ireland for a little bit as well. So I just had a lot to do. I've been setting up this place in Ireland. So yes, my reviews, live stuff on YouTube will be back in the new year, especially now that I've tested this setup and it actually looks quite nice. If you saw any of my videos in Toronto, it was very dark. It was like the room I had was so hard to light. So I think this is the first time people have seen me like in light in about a year. So
yes. I was going to say earlier, I love your setup, the little Christmas tree. It's so festive. Like the angles are perfect. It looks great.
Yeah, I have a a little Christmas tree with a black star on it. I tried to do a full goth Christmas tree, but I didn't plan ahead enough to order enough black decorations. So only when you go close, see how much black is on it. But at least I have a black star. So I'm pretty proud of it. Shall we get into it, Ashley? And let's start with a semifinal for the Continental Classic. It is Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. This match, I think we can agree on, is going to be really good. I think it is. I predict it's going to be a great match. And I think sometimes with AEW, they can be a bit stop-start with people. But Kyle Fletcher is someone that they seem super, super invested in right now, doing good things with. He already has a victory over Will Ospreay, his mentor. But what do you think to this one? Which of these two could you see advancing to the final of the Continental Classic?
Yeah, like you said, AEW does have a story with being start and stop, but I'll give them props on Fletcher. At first I wasn't a fan of his whole shaving of the head thing. I was like, what are you doing? And it just it was very jarring.
Yes, it was.
I was just like, and it took me a while. I'm not gonna lie. It took me like a week or two. I don't know if you saw, he did like this little weather report shortly after. And I was just like, who is this guy? Like, he literally, he seems like a different person. And I've gotten used to it now. And I respect him for it. You know, I dig it. You know, his hair was a calling card almost of his. But I like it. I respect, you know, the changes. And it probably was a more internal thing too. Like, it probably was something that he was thinking in the back of his mind, you know, like, I am just like an Ospreay clone, you know, and he wanted to make changes. So I respect that. And I'm just more happy with Tony Khan, you know, I guess the 24 writers that he has as well. Right. But all of them, I appreciate that they haven't been start and stop with Fletcher, at least up until this point. And I think this tournament has to be about him, not to get too far ahead, but at least up until this point, with this match, I would be very upset, to be honest with you, if Fletcher does end up losing. And I'm not going to say I'm like the biggest Ospreay fan or anything like that, but I've really grown to enjoy him even more when he's since he's been in AEW. So I think the story with this is kind of going to be a couple things branching out. Of course, my pick is Fletcher taking the W here over Ospreay. And I think it's going to be kind of one of those stories of, can Ospreay beat Fletcher? Like, is Fletcher just one of those opponents that Ospreay can't beat for whatever reason? You know, whether it's nefarious means or just straight up, you know, he just can't beat Fletcher for whatever it is. Did he teach Fletcher too much of what he knows type situation?
Yeah.
But I think too, going forward, it kind of frees up Ospreay as well, not to of course win the tournament in my little prediction. So it frees him to potentially be a challenger for Mox and the Death Riders and everything. I think they planted a seed when they reached out to Ospreay, but he was like, no, I got to focus on the tournament. You know, I got to get my head straight type thing. And he's kind of been on like, not a losing streak, but kind of like I don't want to say a downward spiral either, cause that seems too dramatic, but he's just in this weird place. I kind of compared it to Bryan Danielson. Like, he was almost losing more matches than you would expect at one point, and then all of a sudden he was the next champion. So I think that's going to be kind of like Ospreay's route, whether he ends up beating, we're way away from that. But I think we're going to free up Ospreay, get him out of the tournament by having Fletcher beat him, kind of still leave a story in the back burner too with Fletcher that you can always between him and Ospreay, and then have Ospreay kind of move on to the next thing.
I think for me, this one is really hard to predict. I think that going with Kyle is the brave move. So that's my question, is like, are they brave enough to tell this story with Kyle? And I want them to be brave enough because they have done really well with him so far. And I think it's interesting to like turn the kind of story on its head, because usually it's like the student has to beat the teacher, and they've kind of turned this on its head where it's like the student is doing better like at this point. So I am going to go for Kyle as well, because I really hope that they think that it would be kind of a waste of all the great stuff they've done with him if he loses. Not that him losing will like kill him off or anything, but we've gone this far building this momentum for him. And I think it would be kind of unexpected and a braver choice and make it all a bit more interesting. So I'm going to agree that I think it's Kyle for this one. Our next semifinal match is Okada, who is the champion, versus Ricochet. This is interesting too, because Ricochet's had like a bit of a character change recently. I mean, I've never been someone that's been high on Ricochet, like, to be honest. He's not been someone that, he's not one of the people that I really think is, you know, was being really held back in WWE. I think he was kind of in the place that he should have been. And I just wasn't that high on them signing him, just because they signed too many guys and they signed like a lot of ex-WWE guys. And I understood the logic in it because of his history with Will, but I kind of felt like you were signing him for like one match, one feud. And I don't think he's been like very impressive so far. And then when it comes to Okada and his character, that's just been the wildest thing I've ever seen. To see Okada like on weekly TV and think about how like prestigious or something Okada used to be, like seeing Okada in New Japan. Anytime I was lucky enough to see Okada live when he was working for New Japan, like just thinking of it as like I'm honored to be in his presence. And now the way he is in AEW, it's so strange. And you want to have like a little bit of faith that this is all some complete master plan. But I don't know if I have that faith. So I feel like they're going to, I think it's going to be Ricochet. I think Okada is going to be knocked out of the tournament here. Okay. And Ricochet, with this new character kind of leaning into how some people perceive him, is going to have a chance to show something more of himself. I don't know. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think it's going to be Ricochet. How do you feel for this one?
I see, like, part of me, like, wants to agree, but I just feel like Okada's going to get the victory here and at least make it to the finals. If not, that would be crazy. That would be crazy to me. Yeah. Like, and it's got to be, like, does Ricochet cheat? Like, do you think he's just going to beat Okada, like, straight up? Or, like, is it going to be, like, I don't, because there's no interference still. So, do you think he's going to beat Okada clean?
I think he...
That's crazy to think about.
I think he might do something like dirty, like not with interference, but he may do something dirty. And my hope for this would be Okada suffering this loss leads him to the breakdown that he needs in order to become Okada. Because I think that the only way we're going to get out of this loop with Okada is if something really bad happens to him, like losing. Yeah, which is kind of embarrassing, but like he has a mental break, or this whole thing that he's been doing, like this is his mental break, and then he's cured once he loses and he's like a winmaker again. I don't know.
Girl, if that's what happens, then I will bet on Ricochet to make it, to put more odds on it, because we need something. We need something to save Okada, because it's just, yeah. I'm almost at a loss for words of what they've done with Okada this year. Like the heel, like him coming in as a heel, like at first I was like I was questioning it, but I was like, okay, like I figure he's gonna be with the Young Bucks. That's a prime position. Almost mm-hmm. What other position would you want to be in? And we've seen how that's really gone downhill, because we don't even see the Young Bucks anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I was even hopeful for the heel turn. I was like, okay, like we're not heel turn, but the heel debut. And kind of starting off on that track, and then maybe obviously, you know, eventually turning into a babyface or whatever. But I'm just at a loss. Like his whole calling card is, you know, I'll say the B word, right? You know, so it's just like that's really like what we're looking forward to now when we see Okada. So girl, if what you're saying is going to be the truth, then I hope. But I'm just, whereas I had hope for Fletcher, I don't have mm-hmm. as much hope for Okada right now. I think he's just still going to be kind of like just doing whatever until Omega comes back. Or if he ever decides to come back to AEW, if he feels like AEW ever needs him, which is bonkers to me as well. But yeah, I think we're just going to be in a holding period for Okada. I see him at least beating Ricochet in this match. But yeah, the whole toilet paper thing or Ricochet, I died. Did you see it? The whole him being TP in the Hammerstein Ballroom, tremendous. But and Ospreay dying, like when I saw Ospreay dying, like that just killed it for me too. So yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see what they end up doing with Ricochet though. I'm happy they're at least acknowledging the odd, for lack of better words, reaction for him. And I am hopeful for him going forward, but I don't know. Like I'm gonna say Okada wins, because unless Ricochet does something crazy, you know, or kind of like what he did in the match that, oh my god, who did he just face? Oh my gosh, who did he just beat to get here? But when he kicked the ref to the ropes, and then Tony Schiavone was like, did it, you know, and we couldn't see the replay for whatever reason. But it was kind of like, oh, like, does he do that? But they were kind of questioning, like, is he really going down that route? So, yeah, I hope they continue doing that with Ricochet, but I think Okada gets the W here.
I think a lot of what I've been thinking with Okada is just like me coping. I think he's probably just, you know, decided he just wants to have an easier ride here. But
hey, good for him. Like, he's getting his bag and he's doing very minimal. So good for him.
He's getting his bag. He deserves it. It's just slightly, you know, disappointing. But and I've been there with Nakamura. So what can you do?
True.
So true, yeah. So that means that your final then is Kyle Fletcher versus Okada, right? So who you got then as the overall winner?
Now this is going to be like the bravest, like, telling moment, I think, if my little predictions go according to my little plan, for Tony Khan and the writers. I think you have to pull the trigger on Fletcher, and it may sound crazy to have him beat Okada. And again, I don't know, and I'm not one for, like, you know, BS finishes or anything like that, but I think you can make a case for sometimes they can be justified. But I feel like Fletcher's going to take it here. I feel like the tournament has kind of been not built around him, but he's been one of the main stories in the tournament, and just his progression, his breakout year, essentially, after, you know, obviously going against Ospreay and being with Don Callis. I think that you have to pull the trigger, and whether, I don't know what that finish looks like. I don't know how bold you want to be. And maybe I can kind of steal your thunder and use that as Okada's breaking point, him losing in the finals, losing the championship, and then going from there. Cause at least that takes the title off of him. So if and when Omega does come back and they want to do whatever with the Elite and go from there, it kind of frees that up. I mean, not that the title is really a crutch, because they have so many titles and not like it needs to be defended, you know, in a timely manner. But I think it's Fletcher's time, and I think he could really do something with the title as well. And I don't know, like I keep getting that one in the international title, like, not confused, but like I was gonna say, like, oh, he can like take it and like branch out and like defend it in other, like, you know, like around the world and stuff. But isn't that the like the idea with the international title? So
there's just too many titles.
I'm gonna go with a bold pick and have Fletcher win. And if not, then I'm not gonna be disappointed, because I think he would have had a good showing up until that point anyway. But and it's Okada, like you can't, there's no shame in losing to Okada, regardless of the state that he's in character-wise. But yeah, I'm going to go Fletcher, and that may be crazy, but I'm going to go Fletcher.
I don't think it's crazy at all. I'm also going to go Fletcher. I just think he gets there a different way. Like, I think Okada's going to in the semifinal. I don't think this title serves Okada anymore. I don't think there's any point in him having it. I think there's too many titles, like, straight up, there's just too many titles. And I think it's even worse having one on someone like Okada, who's basically like a main event level guy. So I think Kyle Fletcher is going to win. And I think he's in a perfect position to carry this title and make something of it, make more of himself. And I think he's going to beat Ricochet clean, and then they can tell a story with Ricochet that, yeah, he's gone bad, but it hasn't served him enough. And we'll see what he does next. But I think it will be extra good for Kyle to get, you know, a win over one of Ospreay's other rivals, Ricochet, too. So Kyle Fletcher, I think, I agree, is going to be winning this tournament. And I hope they do it. But they can be, they sometimes lack courage, I think, in AEW. But I hope they show it this time and put this Kyle Fletcher for the tournament.
Right there. All right.
Next, let's go to the Women's World Championship. We have a Tijuana street fight. It's Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa. How have you been feeling about this one, Ashley?
I want to feel better about it. It's fine. You know, it's just, it's fine. Like, it's going to be a good match. And that's what I find myself saying a lot, like going in, like doing a prediction show, like with the AEW, like we talked about earlier, like the pay-per-views, like I don't think they've had a bad pay-per-view. I think obviously some have been different tiers, of course, which is with anything in life. But I think that the match is going to be really good, especially with it being a street fight. Like, I'm excited about that aspect. And I'm happy for Thunder Rosa, too. I think she's been sorely underutilized. I know she's been injured, but for how long? That's one of those gray areas. But I'm looking forward to the match. I wish we would have gotten more time for the build for it. And I think it's just kind of one of those things where it's just another opponent for Mariah May to beat, which is fine. And I guess in a sense, but it's, I don't know. I just feel like you just continue to leave a lot on the table, and they could have gotten more story out of this and more substance and like build more time on TV, like knock out so many, you know, like check off so many boxes. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a good match, though. I don't see a title change here. I think obviously we're just in a waiting period for Mariah May until Toni Storm figures out who she is and that she wants to be the champion. And, you know, like whatever, how they introduce her back to Mariah May, if she's just going to be kind of like on a winning streak and then kind of like earns her way to the championship, however we get there. I think that's going to be the end game. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun match. And I'm excited to see what they do. Because, and not for nothing, like the women's, especially street fights in AEW, they always deliver. So I'm excited for that.
The women always pull it out for the hardcore style matches. I still think that the women's storytelling, like, just absolutely sucks in AEW. I still think it sucks. It all feels really afterthought-ish. And I think a great example of that is kind of just Mariah's, you know, reign. They had this whole story with her and Toni. I think they probably paid it off, you know, wrong with in hindsight with her like initial turn on her. But at the same time, when that whole thing was happening, that was all they can focus on. So I still think like the storytelling for women sucks. And I think the writing for women sucks. I think they're going to have a really good match. And I think that Mariah is absolutely going to win. I think that we're just waiting for Toni and her to interact again. I think they'll probably have a big match in Australia. That's not too far away. They can keep this going. Toni Storm thinks she's a rookie now. So yeah, I think the idea that she works her way up to a title shot is probably what we're going to see over the next 6 weeks or so. Thunder Rosa, I've always thought, is really great, but she just doesn't ever seem like she's going to be someone that they're going to feature heavily. So, yeah, I don't have much to say about this other than I think it will be good and Mariah May is going to win.
Yeah, and really quick, two things. It wasn't that the whole idea, I mean, I don't know if she was specifically just for Mercedes Moné, but, like, of bringing Jennifer Pepperman in, like, to focus, obviously, with Mercedes, but more on the women's division, so I don't know like what's happening there. But yeah, and I hope Thunder Rosa goes to WWE at some point. Not to be that person, like company versus company, nothing nefarious like that. But I think there's a lot to her character that you can just dig into in so much depth, her story. And even when she was a champion, they didn't even like scratch, she didn't even get a promo. Like they didn't even scratch the surface with her. So yeah, it's just it's frustrating for me.
Some people just need a change of scenery and they can get that by going to WWE. And I think it's a good segue to then just talk about the other women's match, Mercedes Moné versus Chris Statlander for the TBS Championship. So, yeah, like you just mentioned, this year they brought in a woman backstage. They brought in Jennifer Pepperman, who is Mercedes' writer. And I feel like this stuff they've given Mercedes has been really bad. I think that her in-ring has kind of improved, and her match with Chris at the last pay-per-view was really good. But I honestly, there's been a lot of Mercedes stuff that I think is so cringeworthy. And I'm, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about Miss Peppermint, but I'm not sure that we're getting anything with the women here that is anything better than like the most kind of basic, like bad WWE stuff. Like that whole thing where she got run over by a car, like Chris was getting run over by Camille. The stuff with Camille has been really bad well. Mercedes, to me, has never been a strong promo, but for some reason, they just want her to talk and talk and talk, and it's not. And then, you know, she had a really good match recently. I forget the opponent now, but it was in Japan or for New Japan. A Mercedes. Couple of weeks ago. Yeah, Mercedes. It's totally.
Was it scary. Mina?
I don't think it was Mercedes. Mina.
No, it's gonna bother me.
But I just feel like it shows that when she's not doing the like week to week AWTV, all the promoing, and when she can just focus in the in ring, her in ring is like so much better. And it's just it's been a rough entry into AW for Monet, I think. But I think Chris is who I would put at the top of the women's division, honestly. I think she's amazing. I would have Chris and Willow as my two main women, especially after the feud they had. And the stuff with Chris has been so weird with her face turn, which is just another example of the bad women's writing. So for this, I'm just going to be bold and brave and say Chris Statlander, because I think a bit like Okada with the Continental Championship, I don't think it really serves Mercedes to be holding on to this title still. I think maybe if she lost it, we could try something new with her and maybe take her in a different direction, because just her being the champion, everything they've done with her, to me, it just doesn't work. And she's such a big name as well that she probably should be in the main title picture. You know, you have her holding the secondary women's championship, and it's just so, I just would like to see Chris Statlander get it and kind of move on a bit. Like, that's who I want to win. And I'll be bold and say it, but I don't know how brave they're feeling. How about you?
Yeah, I want to say Chris. I really do. I really do. And if for everything that you just said, but if for not another reason as well, like, she, correct me if I'm wrong, but Mercedes beat Chris Statlander clean at their last last pay-per-view. So if she beats Chris Statlander again clean, that's just gonna look bad on Statlander as well. I don't know why you would want to. I just feel like if the idea is to beat Chris Statlander like clean back to back, then like you could have had Mercedes go up against someone else, or just not had Mercedes on the show period and just had the one women's match. Which is another problem in of itself, because that might kind of what you were saying there as well regarding like if she does lose a title and maybe she can do something else. My fear is that with Mercedes, I don't think she would be forgotten as a lot of the other women have been in the division. But I fear that if she's not the champion, like what is her identity really? Or if she's not fighting for the championship. So if Chris were to beat her and then they maybe do another rematch or whatever, if she were to beat Chris right back for the title, that would kind of be like stupid in my opinion. If Chris beats her, then like does she go against Mariah? But then you kind of have Tony and Mariah kind of linked up and like a long term for that. So that's my I guess concern with that. And I just think that it's, I don't know, like, because if they don't, you know, kind of like trying to decipher here, like, and if they keep the title on Mercedes, like who else is she really going to face? Like, she's already, they blew through the Britt Baker feud like so fast.
I think it's kind of a problem of when it comes to the women that aren't title holders, they seem like such a interchangeable cast.
Yeah.
So it's not as if there's like with the men, we can talk about men that are not title holders that are always in some kind of program. Whereas with the women, it's like, well, you might see like a Serena Deeb 1 week, and then you might not see her again for like 2-3 months, or like you might see like they don't have like a consistent. There's so few spaces for the women that they just rotate them around. So then if you're not a title holder, you are kind of probably going to end up in like a meaningless feud with someone who is not a featured player, who is just almost doing a guest spot just to give you a feud. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it really is. And I try not to be like Debbie Downer over here, but that's like, it's just one of like the sore like points to me. I don't understand. Like, it's just not an importance to Tony Khan. You know, it's just not up there. It's just like probably at the bottom of the totem pole. He has women's titles because he needs to, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm not going to say he doesn't care. Right. But it's just not important. It's not important. And that's what's frustrating. And that's what my hope was for Jennifer Pepperman coming in. And at least if nothing, no other reason, just to have someone else focus on it. So he doesn't have to, that's his excuse, you know, like, oh, I'm not doing it, I gave it to Jennifer, you know, like, you know, go complain to Jennifer type thing. But yeah, I don't know where we're going with it. But yeah, like you said earlier with Willow, I love Willow Nightingale. When Mercedes came in, like, I knew, you know, obviously Mercedes was going to beat her, but I thought you could have had such a fun story with having, if you want to have Mercedes, you know, win the championship, fine, but then have Willow challenge her for it again, and then in her first title defense lose it, to play off of the whole WWE thing, how she can never successfully defend her title. Yeah. Just because I would love to see Twitter or X just burn or whatever, but I think Mercedes is going to win here. I would love if Chris Statlander won. For everything that you said, but I just don't have faith. I don't have faith that they have confidence in what they would do with Mercedes if she's not the champion right now, since she can't go after the other title with Mariah being the, you know, the women's, I guess the actual women's champion. But yeah, I think once Toni Storm, or if and when Toni Storm does win the women's championship back, I think potentially that's around the time frame that Mercedes could lose the title and then free her up then. But it plays into the bigger story issue with AEW, and just if you're not the champion in the women's division, even if you are a champion, sometimes you don't get much love.
For sure. I still think that for the improvements they have made, it's not enough. I thought that was really evident when they went head to head with NXT. There were so many women on NXT, like women opening the show. And it's just been a constant problem. But I don't think it's something that Tony's interest in. You could feel the personal interest he had in the Toni Storm storyline, her doing like that particular storyline. He felt like a personal connection to it, but I don't think anything else. I don't even think he's felt that connection since that happened. It's not as if he's continued on with Mariah in any like great way. So yeah, it's always going to be a downer, but you've convinced me that they're not brave enough. It's just going to be Mercedes.
No, stay strong.
Let's go to Takeshita versus Powerhouse Hobbs for the International Championship. Who have you got for this one?
This was just so random to me.
I don't have strong feelings.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, okay, like, cool. Like, I'm happy for Hobbs. At least he's going to be on a pay-per-view. Like, he's getting a match, you know, in some time. But I'm not confident in it. I think Takeshita retains. It's one of those situations where it's going to be good, you know, probably a good match. But I don't, it's just a weird pairing too. Just a very interesting, like, not only say clash of styles, but just meeting of styles. Like, obviously, Powerhouse is what you think it is, you know, a powerhouse, you know, like, he goes for the more, you know, like the heavy hitting moves and stuff like that. But he is like, he's one of those big men who is like deceptively athletic too. So I think it's gonna be a really fun match. But yeah, it's just one of those it is what it is type things to be on the card.
I think it's gonna be a fun match. I really, really love Takeshita, and I think despite him having a championship, I think he's had a pretty bad year as far as how they've booked him. And it started last year when it's like his focus is always being pulled in the Don Callis situation, whether it was pulled to Will Ospreay and now Kyle, you know, as well. He just hasn't, I think he hasn't been given want his shoot in AEW. So I worry that if he loses the title, he falls totally out of the picture, like totally out of the weekly TV picture. So that's my worry. But when I say he's had a bad year, I mean his booking, like not his matches. But I think that Takeshita will retain. And I think they'll tell a bit more with Hobbs because he's pretty newly back. And yeah, it does seem just a random challenger for Takeshita, but someone that the fans want to see return. So
yeah,
I wish I had more to say on it, honestly.
Me too.
All right, here's one I will have more to say on. We have for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, MJF holding the ring versus Adam Cole, and Adam Cole will have his friends Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. God, I've hated this so much. I can't even hold back from saying like I've hated this storyline. I didn't like the original MJF Adam Cole storyline. I have no idea why they continued it in the way that they have. I have no idea why we were subjected to so many weeks of this storyline when MJF couldn't even turn up to work and we had to watch like crap vignettes. I just think just let it die, please, when it comes to this. And I don't even think they're going to have a good match, to be honest. Sounds kind of harsh, but I don't think that Adam Cole has really had very good performances since coming back. And I don't think that he's going to pull out like an amazing match against MJF. And I honestly think I think when we talk about the writing, the 24 writers, storytelling in AEW, I think MJF spent a lot of time very concerned about his booking, concerned about his storylines. And this feels like he's like taken a step back. He's gone and done movies and is like, well, actually, maybe wrestling is not like the be all and end all. Maybe I can just do movies and do the Adam Cole thing, whatever. I'll send him some vignettes. But I really, really disliked it. And I really think it was a bad idea for them to continue feuding. I think it's a moment when Tony should have put his foot down and just been like, no, Max, we shouldn't. Like, let's all move on, because my God, we had enough time to just move on. Truly couldn't care who wins, as long as it ends. I'll just, if Adam Cole loses though, he's gonna seem like such a loser, like just in general, like but MJF being MJF, I think he's gonna retain and just always be the guy that has this ring. Do you have any more positive thoughts on this?
No, and I'm trying to watch my mouth because I have a potty mouth. I have a very bad mouth. But this,
whatever you like.
Oh no, it's been so terrible. And you summed it up very nicely there. I went from being like personally concerned for like Adam Cole the human, because like it's like mentally, like he's gone through a really crappy 2 years now, you know, like injury wise or whatever. And then apparently all the stuff with Breaker, I guess, is true now since MJF mentioned it on TV. So it's just, I kind of felt for the guy, you know. And my perception of it all was he's just not there. He's just not mentally checked in. He's got a lot going on. They're just trying to get through this to like finish that chapter. And then after this, hopefully they both will go on and do their own thing and never look at each other. But it's just, I don't even know, like, I feel like I'm almost making excuses because it's just, like you said, it's just terrible. It really took a turn for me. So Adam Cole came back. He was like, I was very hopeful the first week. He came back. He was like, you know, he addressed Undisputed Kingdom. He was like, guys, I'm going to do this on my own. Da, da, da. I'm thinking, yes, thank God. Like, do this on your own. Again, cool. You have friends. I fine, but like they don't need to be involved in your business, you know, like it's terrible. So but the very next week they come out and they're like, oh yeah, you know, like, no, you do need to sign him. He's like, yeah, you're absolutely right, guys. And they hug it out, and it's just like what? Like, Yeah. Really? And every week I've been expecting them to turn on him. And I guess that's the point. And they aren't. They know what they're doing. They're setting it up, like they positioning in the ring, like Adam Cole stands in the front, they're behind him, the camera angles. So it's like they want you to think that. And we're just not getting to that point. So I'm just like, whatever. Like it just makes Adam Cole look even more dumb. It's just like if he's just gonna continue to like, and it's always been funny to me, just wrestling as a whole, that wrestlers just don't go back and watch the shows that they were just on, or like they're on the show, but they don't watch it. So like, if it's not like, if they don't see it, they don't know what else happened on the show, which is just wild to me. But that's AEW soul, that's WWE, everyone, you know, but it's like with this situation, it's like, okay, so I'm going to try to play along and have Adam like, okay, like, I think they did try to address it and clean it up on Collision. I think, what was it, this past Saturday? Maybe before, I don't know.
They've done has probably been the best, but
yeah. And even that was very convoluted, and it was like, you're like really stretching, you know, really stretching. But okay, like fine. I feel like MJF is just going through the motions right now. Like, he's doing like the cliche heel things, like, oh, Washington Wizards. Like, everyone and their mother knows the Wizards suck. Like, yeah, that's not a dig. Like, you know, like if the fans go along chanting Wizards suck with you, like, come on. Like, I used to live in the DC area. So, like, I lived in Virginia. So, like, DC was our home team. So it's like, I wouldn't even cheer for the Wizards. I didn't even go to the games. They suck. They've always sucked. So it's like, come on, dude. Like, you're better than that. And I don't know. Like, I think that MJF is going to win here. I think it's just stupid that the Dynamite Demon Ring is on the line here. Like, yep. It's just, and I almost like was wondering like, oh, is this going to be like the Dynamite Demon Ring on a pole type thing? Cause like the way Adam Cole was like talking about it, like, oh, his friends are going to like protect the ring and like guardians of the ring, like, and to make sure that MJF doesn't get to it before. So like, it's just very strange to me. I don't know, like MJF, like I was saying, he's just kind of been like going through the motions and just kind of checked out because good for him. Like he's getting his bag in Hollywood, but like, come on.
He's gone from being like someone when he, you know, first started in AEW that was always in character, like always thinking, trying to like do different. He was such a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And he's become like, ever since they made him champion, he's just become like the laziest guy, like creatively, I'm not saying in the ring, but so lazy. Like you can always predict what he's going to say to someone. But especially these past couple of weeks and with all the Hollywood stuff, not even being there for most of this feud, like awful vignettes. I think it was at the Dynamite I was at in Chicago, they played one where he's like playing piano and stuff, just like terrible stuff. But I think that Tony lets MJF do whatever he wants. I think a lot of it's on Tony as well. Like he, you know, MJF got that tattoo and got that new contract.
The same thing about that tattoo. But you know, it's in a very like convenient like location too. Like his boots, like shoes cover, like, you know, like it's just very, very convenient.
I always say if you're really serious, you gotta get it on your neck like the Undertaker did for Clara.
And like Cody. My God, Cody. I mean, that crap is like eating his neck alive, you know, but he's about his brand. You know, like, come on. But yeah, no, I just, like you said, and like the whole phoning it in, like sitting in the segments from him and like when he was like had that his masseuse or whatever, it's like, come on, like it's just come on. It's just cringe. And I expect more from MJF, you know, because like you said, he started off hot and it's almost like he was better when he was earlier on in his career. And now, like, I don't want to say all this has gone to his head because his talent is, it speaks for itself. Right. But I just think, like you said as well, he's being allowed to just do the minimum. And it's if he's not held to the fire more and be like, no, like you need to be here. Like if you're going to have this feud, you need to be here. At least they did address it at the beginning. MJF said like he wasn't going to be there for however many weeks it was. So at least they did address it at that point. But why even do this then? Like if he like, oh, it just so happened like they were in the same area where he was filming that the pay-per-view was at. So it worked out. And I don't know. It's just I want to, I'm almost sad that I'm not more excited for this match. because like we were talking like right before, like with Revolution, thinking about like when last time they were here in Orlando, like MJF was going against Punk, and like it's just crazy, like the turn, like as a whole, even just keeping it to, because AEW as a whole is a completely different story, but like just MJF, like singularity, like he was vicious in that feud. Like he I got the, you know, like the, that white shirt with the picture, like the blood, like I bought that shirt, you know, cause I was like, this is just fantastic. And now just seeing where he's at, it makes me sad, because I know, like, it's like, you know, your potential, man. Like, you know, his potential. It's almost like a child. It's like, I know his potential, and he's just now he's exceeding, you know, and like realizing it in Hollywood, which is cool. Good for you. But wrestling wise, like, I don't know, but then like you said too, it's on Tony Khan. It's on Tony Khan.
Yeah.
You have, you know, you enable things or you allow it to happen.
I felt for so long during like the time he was feuding with Punk, and even before that, that he was like the biggest asset the company really had, because he was young and he had not been anywhere else. So he, like, to me, like, he was their asset. And it really feels like once they kind of give him that recognition, like the championship and then the new contract and everything, he just has felt like he's, well, I've made it now, and like that's it. He's just, to me, become like stale and predictable, and it's just it's sad. Like I liked him so much, but I'm gonna stick with him winning. Are you going for MJF?
I'm sticking with MJF as well. I don't know. Like,
it's what you do with Adam after this, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like probably maybe just like thinking of the like the card as a whole. Like, the person I'm most concerned for is Adam Cole going forward. You know, because if he wins the Dynamite Ring, like, okay, like he doesn't. That's not his style. You know, like he's not like. I mean, I don't know. Like, the ring doesn't suit him. Like, not saying I would even expect him to wear it or bring it out every week, but it's just. But if he loses, it's what you know. I don't know. I'm concerned for him.
Well, on that sad note, let's go to the AEW World Championship match. It's Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy versus Hangman Adam Page versus Jay White. God, I'm not very positive about this either, to be honest.
But your guy's in it. Your guy, Jay White.
My guy is in it, but it's a four-way. I think this Moxley storyline started with a lot of potential, but to me, he is a good actor in a bad movie. This movie isn't very good. You know, I don't think it's, I think the invasion-y, takeover-y, whatever you want to call it kind of stuff is really hard to do. And this just feels a little flat, because you get such incredible violent moments, like him literally trying to kill Brian. And then you get other stuff that's just like, Liam, there's no consistency. They have no idea how the rest of the roster is meant to act, whether this is like an actual takeover and they're meant to be worried, or whether they're meant to be just ignoring it and it's like a self-contained thing. And it always, like, I feel like Darby's probably going to be the guy, and it always feels like we're waiting for him, so we're holding off again. I love Jay White, and I love Hangman Page. And I like Orange Cassidy, of course, but like my two guys that I'd build the show around are literally in this match. But because it's a four-way, I'm not that excited. You know, I think I'd rather see Hangman and Jay run it back again than a four-way. So I'm not too into this. And I honestly think that Jon Moxley is just going to retain, and we're just going to keep this going, because this is not the end of the story as far as he goes. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, we do not have enough time in the stream for me to like fully just vent about all my like frustrations with this too. Like, it's kind of similar to the MJF thing. Like, I had so much hope for this, you know, like I had so much, I don't want to say like, okay. So backtracking, when he first won the title, and then it was the whole like, this isn't your company anymore type of vibe. I've been into it. I was like, oh, Shane's coming in, like this is gonna be crazy, like da da da. Like, I was one of those people. And like, I totally, like, you know, like your Wade Keller's, like Fightful, everyone was like, no, like, you know, like Shane's not coming in, like, but I was that person, man. Like, no, like, he's going to come in. Like, it's, I'm not saying like he's, it's like an invasion type thing or any, like that type of angle, like that strong, but like, it was the way they were positioning it. Right. And that's why, kind of like what I was saying earlier about like how AEW, like, you know, certain angles with like the camera angles with Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom, where they present things and kind of make you think like, oh, like they're going to turn on him, and they don't. They put these little thoughts in your, in the back of your mind. And whether, you know, Shane was ever, you know, supposed to come in, or that was like maybe a thought or hope or whatever, and it fell through, or whatever the case, or it was just complete like ludicrous in the beginning, that's fine. I bought into it and I had fun with the idea. And I'm still like, there's like maybe like 5% of me that's like, oh, there's a possibility maybe Shane shows up, you know? Because like with the whole theme, the world's in, going into the new year, it'd be a big deal starting off on their simulcast with HBO Max for Dynamite. Like, it could really like put a lot of steam and momentum into it, and it'd be great counter television, right? Well, that's not counter television, counter streaming. WWE going into Netflix, HBO going into, or AEW going in with or HBO, and you have Shane on the other side. Like, that'd be crazy, right? That's just how my brain works. I just take one little thought and just go kind of crazy with it, but it's just kind of looking back on it, I just like, what was the idea with John Moxley saying like to Tony Schiavone, like, you know, speaking to Tony Khan, like, this isn't your company anymore. Like, what is he really doing? Even I, like, the thing that sticks out to me too is the whole like Mox has taken over the Superstation thing, like that whole hype, like he was supposed to take over. I was excited. I was like, oh, this is gonna be dope. Like, he's gonna, like, they're gonna start the show off, he's gonna be like just destroying the production trucks, like knocking over camera, like all this crazy stuff, right? Dude didn't show up until halfway through the show. It's like he showed up at 9 o'clock, and it's like, okay, like, all right, buddy, all right, but still, here we go. And it comes out, it's just like a regular segment. Just like, okay, so like, what did he do to take over, you know? And it's just like, it reminds me of like Tony Khan's announcements. And I hate, like, I just feel like sometimes that's why I like almost like feel bad sitting down and talking about all this stuff, because I feel like I'm just like all like, it's just like all like, woe is AEW. And it's not, you know, it's just my love for them and my hope for them. It's just like, I still have high expectations for them, you know, and I still have all this hope for them. That's just, I guess, like the word of the day, but I just don't know. And like you said, when they announced the four-way match, I was like, of course it's a four-way match. It's a given, right? Like, why would you take the title? I guess you could, at one side, you can make a case that, okay, Moxley loses, he wasn't pinned, possibly. Like, what if, you know, like two other people can pin each other? So that could be the crux that Mox has. Like, oh, like he wasn't the one who was actually pinned, and that can make him even more mad or whatever. But I don't see that. I think they're going to want to focus on one individual specifically who's going to be the one to dethrone Moxley, whoever that ends up being. I just don't think we're at that point right now. And if we did, if he does lose the title, I would actually be very surprised. And do you think that title's in the briefcase? Because that's such a small briefcase. Like, I don't know. And the briefcase gets me too. Like, if it's just a title, okay, but it's so small, like thin.
I think that I feel like before it felt like someone, whether it be Darby or even Kenny, needed to save AEW from something. Now I'm not even sure that, like,
but that was the whole vibe, that was the whole intention,
it was worth it, you know, because it's been like it got like quite lame quite fast, badly plotted out. And I think, like we were saying earlier, like it can feel negative when you're talking about like previewing a pay-per-view because of how some of like the TV is, but you know the pay-per-view matches will be good. But at the same time, the last pay-per-view we saw, Full Gear, ended with like a whole convoluted scene with Moxley and his gang, and you know, even Jay even came out during that, and that I was surprised at that, but all just like leading to this four-way. And I feel like they've dropped the ball with it. And when it comes to Shane McMahon, I've never wanted Shane to come in, but I kind of would, I would accept it in like a perverse way. Like I never wanted him to be like the higher power, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know what? That's fuck it. Like, let's do that. Because if that would be for good or bad, it would probably be interesting, like compelling TV. But now it feels like I'm not even sure if there's an actual purpose to what Moxley is talking about. Or saying it just like, that's why I say he's like a good actor in a bad movie. Like he delivers his lines very well and stuff, but if there's no real meaning to them and if there's no real properly plotted out story, then I'm not sure what the point is. But I think everyone's doing a good job. Like I love Marina. She's great, but there's nothing. The storyline is not what it could have been, but also you got to remember, like any kind of takeover evil faction storyline, it's probably not a good idea for that to be the second one that you've tried this year, considering, you know, and Tony, it was quite a big mistake, I believe, for Tony Khan to make himself a character in the way that he did, like letting the Young Bucks do that to him. Like we've always heard his name mentioned on Dynamite. We've seen him a couple of times, but I think once he took that TK driver from the Young Bucks, now you're kind of, it's always in the back of your mind that he is like the physical guy in charge in the way that like Triple H or Vince McMahon was, and Moxley's doing all this shit and it just doesn't, you know, concern him. And it's messy. It's really messy. But I think I will be shocked if Moxley loses that title, like absolutely shocked. And I think it's just straightforward. Moxley wins. I hope Kenny comes back though.
Yeah. Kind of two questions for you. Do you think we get like a Kenny sighting at all? And then who do you think, so is your pick the one who like officially dethrones Moxley? Do you think it's going to be Darby Allin, or who do you think ends up beating him for the title? Like, and like being the one to save, I guess, save AEW or save whatever. Yeah,
I think it's Darby. And that won't satisfy me. I think Darby's great. Okay. He's been great like since day one, but I don't buy him as champion. Like I actually don't buy him. Nothing to do with what he looks like or what he wrestles like. I think he's been like furniture for too long. Like he's always been there. He's always had great matches. But there's just not enough work been done with him to make me totally buy him as a guy. I think it should be Omega, but I think that Omega will never be ready to put himself in that position. Like, the way that John Moxley, not saying he's being a bad guy behind the scenes, but it feels like John Moxley was literally like, the thing is, Tony, how we can turn the ship around is if I am the guy, right?
Yeah,
I can't see Kenny doing the same thing, but honestly, Kenny should be the guy, in my opinion. So I also don't think we're going to see Kenny at World's End. I would like to. But I don't think so. I think he's preparing to be in Japan where he actually wants to be. So,
and that's wild to me. Really quick, I have to get your thought really quick about Omega just going straight to New Japan and him saying he doesn't like AEW's in a great spot. Like they don't need him. Like, do you think he was like, that's truly, I mean, obviously like it was true. He's in New Japan first and we haven't seen him like physically on AEW, but like, do you think like him saying like, oh, AEW is in a good spot, they don't need me, that's part of the story? Cause it's like, yeah, of course, no one's going to go out there and be like, oh, yeah, AEW sucks, like when you're actively employed at the company. Yeah. But, like, I mean, you know, it's not great, but like, it was just an odd statement, I guess. But I think to me personally, like, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm paying Omega, I'm sure, millions, and he's one of my top guys. There's no way when he's coming back from this like catastrophic injury, like, of course, it wasn't like occurred in the ring, it's like a natural health thing, you know, but like, the first time he comes back in the ring is in Japan. Like, no, like the first time we see him is regarding New Japan. Absolutely not like that. And I don't know if that's me being selfish or whatever, but like, that's just wild to me. But
I think it's crazy. I think Kenny's heart is in Japan. And yeah. I think it always has been. And I think he had a scary health moment and he isn't 100% sure like how much he can do or how much he has left in the ring and he wants to give it to Japan. But I think that Tony, the businessman, had to put his foot down and say, well, I'm paying you. You can absolutely wrestle this match in Japan, but you have to come back to AEW. Like this is your company. My houses aren't good. My ratings aren't good. And even the fact that we saw him on AEW television be attacked by the Bucks during that whole storyline. So if you're just an AEW viewer that doesn't pay attention to anything else, you're not on the internet, you're not reading anything, you're not watching any prediction shows, you're probably like, where's Kenny then? And you'd be shocked to find out he wrestled a match in Japan. Like, you'd be absolutely shocked. It would be like your favorite character on like your favorite soap being in like a big accident, and then you're waiting for them, you find out they've turned up with some other show, like you're like, what?
Exactly It's just wild.
Like to me it's just a bad decision by Tony, and kind of thing that I hope he sorts out in 2025. Like if he can't be the bad cop sometimes and maybe get someone that can and like get everyone on the same page. But yeah, I just want to read out these super chats here. But we've got one from Will again for $5 saying, I hear how Tony Khan books Mariah to say the women's division sucks. As a champion, you would never hear Roxanne say that about the NXT division. Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is Mariah, when she got away from Tony, didn't have a proper character other than like generic bitch or generic mean girl, which is, you know, kind of what they give to heel women. So I think a lot of the things she says are just really like the most generic things you could say, like all these other girls suck, that kind of thing. Like I would blame, like, well, she's got to take some of the blame herself, but the writing too, like we were talking about, the writing for the women is just awful, to the point where you can put someone through a storyline like they did with Mariah and have her come out of it with no actual identity. You know, yeah, she should really be like this genius with some kind of great dark personality.
Sadistic,
because like she literally planned this whole thing of cozying up to this girl and, you know, running.
And it was vicious. She stabbed her with her heel. Like there's blood everywhere. Like it was a vicious scene. Like I loved it. I loved how they did it. And it's just been no follow-up after she won the title.
And all they can give her since is just like generic mean girl bitch who occasionally says something that's a little bit attitude era-ish. And it's not great for me. It's not great writing. And then we have one from Sean, who gives $4.99. What's up, Stephanie? Glad you're doing a podcast, and you picked an amazing person with Ashley. She is the best.
Oh, stop.
Yes, Ashley. You've been so
great
today. And it's been so great to talk to you about the show. I think we got through everything, right? We're both Moxley is leaving with the championship.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's been great to break down everything with you. And look, guys, like we tried not to be totally negative, and there was a lot of positive things we had to say about people like Kyle Fletcher and people that they're, you know, investing in. But at the same time, we got to be honest, and some of the booking hasn't been great, but they are going to be really good matches. That's the thing that makes it frustrating is like you look at all these names on paper and it's like they do have the best roster of all
time. They're stacked. Yeah.
It's stacked. I mean, you know, I lived through the Attitude Era, and when you actually watch the shows, like the roster was nowhere near what we're getting today.
No, going back and watching some of those Raws, like just a random weekly Raw, it's like, oh my God, like this is what everyone raves about. Like, of course, hits, you know, like there's hits and misses with every show, but like.
Yeah. Well, as Sean says, always good matches, but not very good booking. That's kind of sickly summing it all up. But Ashley, I want to say thank you so much and have a great time at World's End. Have a great time there in person. And please tell everyone where they can follow you and check out all the awesome work you do.
Oh, well, no, thank you, Stephanie. It's been an honor to be here. I truly appreciate it. I have, like I told you a little before we started, like officially recording, I've seen you, like I've seen you on PW Torch, and I follow your channel on YouTube and stuff. And like the guy I said earlier, we can't wait for your weekly shows to come back, your Dynamite reviews. I'm looking forward to when you get back in the flow with that. But yeah, no, I'm just happy to be here. It's always fun talking wrestling, especially AEW, you know, like we said, like it's not at its hottest point, right? But they do deliver on their pay-per-views, so the matches should be good. So there is positivity coming out of it, and there should be good things coming out of the pay-per-view as a whole. So I am hopeful for that. And a new year, new AEW, right? We'll let them go with the cliche little resolution. But yeah, no, but again, thank you for having me. You can find me on YouTube. I do a little show, Kick Ash Podcast. Nothing crazy. I just get on there and kind of use it as a venting platform for all things wrestling. So yeah, definitely feel free to follow me over there. You can follow me on Twitter as well at ASHMANNS. But whatever you want to do, yeah, I just appreciate it. And again, thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, guys, if you're a fan of what I do, just sitting talking about what I think of shows, absolutely go watch Ashley as well. You're gonna love it. And I will definitely have you back on again. Maybe talk WWE next time and we can.
Yes, that'd be fun.
That would be interesting, especially since I think we're both pretty big CM Punk fans. So
yeah, a little bit.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much. Thank you everyone that watched. And I hope you all have a great rest of the holiday period and the new year. I will be back, I think next week, previewing Wrestle Dynasty. But until then, bye.
Bye.
This is Robert.
Hey there.
Robert is an over-the-road trucker. He takes his business very seriously.
Yes, I do.
Robert traded up to GEICO for serious commercial coverage, insuring not just his truck, but his cargo too, all for seriously low rates, with serious savings for his inspection history.
So, they're going to be a talking animal with a catchphrase like an armadillo?
What the armadillo?
There he is.
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
Aww.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.